Well, it's wonderful to be together again this morning and want to welcome you all. It's a real blessing that you're here and you are an encouragement to everyone else that's here. So thank you all for being here. I would like to invite us now to open in God's Word together in 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. Each week we strive to open God's Word and read a passage of Scripture here that I have selected, but the purpose is not to hear what I have to say as much as it is to hear what God has to say to each one of us, because we believe that this is how God speaks to us today. Rather than Him speaking to me personally and claiming that I have had a vision or a message directly from God this week, I believe that God's Word is the source of that information to us, and that whenever we open the Scripture and we read, we can understand from this what God's message to us is. And as I read this morning, I just want to encourage you to engage in the Scripture with me, and I will value your thoughts as well as my own. We have a good friend down in Arizona, David Hunt, and when I was preaching in Tucson many years ago, David would sometimes say to me, make this comment to me, and I've always thought about it, how true it is, that he said, sometimes when you're preaching and you will have a passage of Scripture, that he will be looking at the text and some thoughts will come to him that was different than what I was focusing on, but that he was engaging in the Scripture as well as what I had prepared to say, that he was getting a lot out of it in addition to that. And I believe that's true, that as I read here this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, that there's something that I am seeing here, but I want to encourage you to all be looking at the text, and you might see something that speaks to you in another sense, then that's perfectly okay. That's good. So our goal, though, is for us as we come together here to be worshiping God and to drawing close to Him. We have gathered around the Lord's table, and Scripture that is, I think, a key to what we do each and every week, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we read that the disciples, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And when we speak about the breaking of bread, really is focusing on the Lord's Supper that we have taken of this morning already. But that is such an important central purpose of Christians gathering together each and every first day of the week. And I believe you share with me the belief that God encourages us to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And to, as often as we break this bread and drink this cup, we remember His death until He comes again. But at the same time, God does encourage us to open His Word, and with His Word, which is very powerful, to consider God speaking to us His will in a way that can really impact us in our daily lives. So I'd like to read this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2 and encourage you to have your Bible open there. Follow along as we read together 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. He said, coming to him as to a living stone, that is, Jesus Christ, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you, he said, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Well, we see here that that the Apostle Peter, who was very close to Jesus when they were together here on earth, was exhorting the Christians here at this time to realize that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and that God has exalted him, has chosen him. Even though he had been rejected by some of the religious leaders, and the stone was cast aside, God had chosen that stone, Jesus, to become the chief cornerstone. And these Christians had made that choice in their lives to commit their lives to him. So Peter wanted them to understand that they made the correct choice. That no matter what the world around was saying, casting the derision at Jesus Christ that was crucified on a cross, that nevertheless, God has chosen him. And that through him, we now have become a special people of God. We are God's people. And that's the thought that I want to share with you this morning, is the thought that, as he is saying here, we are special. And who doesn't like to hear that? You know, we like to think, I believe, that each of us is special, and we are. We are created in the image of God, and God loves each one of us. When we were young, our mother, for example, would probably, it was true for you as it was for me, that my mother would often say, you are special. And she wanted me to believe that God created me for a purpose. And so those things are important to the development of a child and the confidence that we have in who we are, our identity. There's many people today, I think, go to great lengths to distinguish themselves in some way, that they are special. It might be the clothes that they wear, the style of their hair, the music they listen to. It could be many different things, but we all seem to have within us that desire to know that we are important, that we're valued. And so that's what Peter is saying here to each of us as the church and as the people of God, that in the eyes of God, we are valued. We are his people, and that we are special in that way to God. We're distinct. And that means that we are different in many ways from the people around us who are not followers of Jesus Christ. We are his people. We are special in his eyes, and therefore we're valued, and he has a purpose for us to fulfill. Now, as we think about being the people of God, then we understand that there's a background here to what Peter was saying, and that he is building on the thought that the people of God have always been special. And that this goes back into the Old Testament, far back in time, to when God began to choose his people and to work with them to accomplish his glory and his purposes here in the world. So, going back to the days of Abraham, we learn that God at that time called Abraham to leave his country, to leave his father and his family, and to go out into a place that God would show him, which would be the land of Canaan. And in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1 through 3, the Lord said to Abram, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. At that time then, God chose Abraham and came to him and called him to leave and go to a place that Abraham, even at the time, he did not know where he was going, but he had faith to trust God and follow God's instruction. And this was the beginning of the nation of Israel. This was the beginning of God's people, God making a covenant with the people of Israel that he would be their God, they would be his people, and they would, through this, become a blessing to all the nations of the earth. As we read through the book of Genesis, we find that eventually the children of Abraham, his family, went down into Egypt, and they began to be in slavery there for 400 years. But then God raised up Moses, and through Moses, he delivered them from that bondage. And they were brought out to Mount Sinai, out there in the Sinai wilderness and desert. They came to Mount Sinai, and at Mount Sinai, God came down and delivered the law of Moses on tables of stone to them. Now, at that time in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5 and 6, God spoke through Moses. He said, Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So here we find that God here begins referring to the people of Israel as his peculiar, his own possession, a treasure to him above all people, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So the word that is used here is important to appreciate how God is taking the people of Israel, and he is now telling them, you are a special treasure to me. You're my people, and I want you to belong to me. I want you to honor me and to be holy in my sight. In doing that, God here was setting the people of Israel aside, as it was, from all other people. And they would be holy. They would be set apart to God. They would be devoted to God. That was God's purpose in entering into this covenant relationship, a binding covenant relationship where God would bless them and use them, and he wanted them to be different. He wanted them to be his people. And the question we wonder about in that is, how was Israel to be different? What was God saying to them? How was He taking them to be different than other nations? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses was later speaking to the people here. And he said, "For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon Him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?" There are two things here that Moses mentioned that made Israel different. One was they had God near to them. What nation, he says, has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? And secondly, they had His law. They had His word. He said, "What great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?" So the thing that was different and unique about the nation of Israel was that they had a very close, personal, intimate relationship with God, where they could call upon Him. They could pray to God, and He would hear their prayers, and He would bless them and protect them and watch over them and give them blessing and success. And secondly, they had His law. They had a righteous law of statutes and judgments that God had revealed to them there in Mount Sinai. So that is why Israel was different from other nations, because God chose them through Abraham, and He then entered into this covenant with them, and He made it clear to them this was a special relationship that they enjoyed with God. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, He said, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." So we see from that here that when we read in the book of 1 Peter that we are a special people of God, that Peter has that in background of his development of thought, that here were the people of Israel. They were God's special people. Now we have Christians. We as followers of Jesus Christ, we are His special people today. Throughout the Old Testament, the people of Israel often drifted and strayed away. And that is just a fact of reading the Old Testament. We find that they fell into idolatry. God even sent them into captivity. He continued sending His prophets to them to exhort them, to call them back to being faithful to God. And sometimes they were successful, but the people continued to turn away from God. But at the end of the Old Covenant, God, Malachi chapter 3, talks about that God still had a purpose, that He was going to still have His special people, and that He was going to send His messenger. He was going to send a messenger before the coming one. John the Baptist would come before the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But He said here, He said, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And dropping on down toward the end of that chapter, he talks about the people that would come out of this, would turn their hearts back to God. And he said, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. You see, God is telling us through Malachi that God is intent on having his special people. He has not given up on that. And that he is sending his son in the last days, and he will draw his people together. They will be precious to God. They will be his jewels. And God will look upon them in a way that is different than the way he will look on other people who do not serve God. He's going to discern between the righteous and the wicked. God wants his people then to be righteous. He wants them to be holy. And one purpose that God has through this is through his people to stand as a shining example to all the world to see that these are my people. They love and serve me. And through that, other people will be able to see how Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and come to know him. God wants us as his people to be that. He wants us to be a special people to God for that purpose, that we will glorify God, and through that other people will come to know him. Well, what I'm getting at is that we are those people today. We are those saints. And it's interesting how in the letters of the New Testament, Paul addresses us as the saints. He says we are called to be saints. Romans 1, 6 and 7. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So there's one line of thought in the religious world that a saint is someone who lived a very godly life, and after they have died, they are voted or designated that they were a saint. And we see that there's people like Saint Jerome that some look to that as he was a saint, or some other great famous person in history. But that's not how the Bible uses this word. God is saying that his people, we as the followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be saints, to be set apart to God, to be holy and belong to him. So as Paul is drawing the Roman letter to a conclusion here in chapter 12 of Romans, and one in verse 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I didn't emphasize much, but in the Old Testament, when God said, I want you to be my people, I want you to be my special people, he made it clear, I want you to come out from the other nations and be separate and not partake of the idolatry, not partake of the evil practices that are being done in those other cultures and nations of the world. I want you to be my people and live differently than the world around you. And that's what he is saying here in the book of Romans, that God does not want us to be conformed to the world. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we will be this holy people of God that he has had in mind all along. Now, I have a photo here of the Aberdeen Church of Christ. I thought this was a neat photo from their Facebook page. And most of you know that we have two families that have moved there. Jess and Karen Skillings, Greg and Lori Sism are members. And I was just over there this week visiting my good friend Glenn Reagan. And Glenn was saying they're doing great. Jess and Karen are doing really great. And Greg and Lori are doing really great. And he's commenting on how much they appreciate Greg's bass singing and how much they enjoy Jess's song leading and things like that. But I just thought that's a neat photo because here you see a group of the saints. You see a congregation, not a large one necessarily, but loving. And that is what God has envisioned that His church is. It is a church that's distinctive. It's different in the sense that it's a beautiful thing that God creates and brings us together to be His people there in that community. And we are to be His church and His people here in this community for the same purpose. So when we come together and when we grow in our love for one another and we take up our time together really focused on one thing, and that is we're not here to entertain each other. We're not here to put on a performance. We're here to grow in our faith, to come together, to be a functioning body of Christ here in this community, so that we will shine to the people around us and other people will say, that's really unique, that's really great. And they will want to come and know more about Jesus Christ and how He can impact their lives. So we are God's own special people. That's what Peter is telling us here. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, we see this again where Paul here talks about the grace of God that brings salvation has been revealed to all of us, and he said that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. God takes people then who are out in the world, who are engaged in lawless deeds, but through His gospel of salvation and His grace through Jesus Christ, He is able to change those people's lives, and we become then God's special people who are zealous for good works and who glorify and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter says, once again, he said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. And many of them were, at that time, Gentiles. There were some who were Jewish. But God brought Jew and Gentile together in one body. And now we together make up the people of God. Well, what is it that makes us special today as God's people? And I want to suggest it's the same thing that made Israel special in God's plan there in the Old Testament. And that is, we have a God who is close to us. John 14 and verse 23, Jesus said that if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You see, we have the promise that God dwells within us as his people. And he says, I will be your God, you will be my people. because I am going to be dwelling in you as you keep my word and as you live for my son. In James 1, verse 18, beginning, he said, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Said, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and all overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." We have those two things that makes us distinct. We have a God who is very near to us, and we have his word, which is able to save our souls. Those are the same things that the people of Israel had that made Israel a different nation from all other nations. And they were God's nation. They were God's people. In spite of their imperfections, God claimed them as his people. And God claims us as his people. John closes his letter, 1 John chapter 5. He says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ." That really, I love that way that he puts that we are in him who is true. That is, we are in Jesus Christ and God is in us. That's who we are. We have an identity then as Christians. And I just want to close by asking you the question this morning. Are you different? Is the life you're living truly different from that of the world in which we live today? Is your life different in the sense that you are a special person? Your life has been transformed by the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. And you are now a part of the people of God. And you love that identity that you now have, that as the people of God, we exist to glorify him in this world. And that God intends to use us to reach other people for the cause of Jesus Christ and draw them to him. Because when people look at his church, they see a shining light on a hill that we're drawn to Christ because God has placed his people here in a place that is prominent where people see us. People associate with us and come in contact through our neighborhoods, through our work, through our friendships. In our daily lives, we live in this community. We know other people. We meet other people. And God is using us to reach those other people. That's why God wants us to be different. God doesn't want us to be like everyone else. God wants us to stand out and to be distinctive and to be different because to God we're special. We are his precious possession that belongs to him, and he considers that important. That's something that God takes very great pride in, looking at us as his special people of God. Now, you may have different thoughts on that passage as you look at it this morning, and I would love to hear your thoughts if there's something there else that you're seeing about the importance of Jesus Christ and how God is building us together as living stones in his temple. He's taking each one of us, putting in, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone that was rejected by the world, but God has made him the chief cornerstone. We're going to close and offer the invitation song. We're going to sing together. It's an opportunity that if anyone here realizes the need in your life to make a commitment this morning to Jesus, who comes to you and welcomes you with open arms, that he's inviting you to come to him and be a part of this people of God that he is building here on earth. We're going to stand and sing, and we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today, white from the sunshine of love.